Well, hello and welcome to Sunrise Community Church. We are thrilled that you have joined us this morning. Whether you are here in the worship center or on campus in one of our venues over maybe in the high school room, we want to give you a shout out to all of you over there in the high school room, or maybe you're up in the college room upstairs, or maybe you're over in our kids ministry building, or maybe you're joining us online yet again. And we are thrilled to have you here this morning. I hope that you will take the time to complete one of our online connection cards where you can go to sunrise.church/welcome and let us know that you've been here this morning. Let us know that you were watching along, and let us know also how we can be praying for you. That is really important. We have a team of people that gather every week. We're doing it on Zoom meetings right now, but we are praying for the needs of the people out there in our church family, and we'd love to be able to pray for you. We want to let you know, in the coming week, we have a few offerings for you to be a part of. Tomorrow at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live, we do the Backshed Bible Study. That's a fun one. I'd love to have you join us there. We post it to YouTube afterwards so you can get it there as well. On Wednesdays in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, we have Pastors Live. And Pastors Live is a neat opportunity to get together with all of us as a pastoral team where we talk about the new things that are happening in the church. And we're putting a big focus during Pastors Live on a lot of the specific details that are going into our relaunch. And so that's an important one to check out. If you're concerned or you want to know what's happening as we slowly build back up to normal operations here on campus, definitely visit Pastors Live. And that one is recorded, so you can go back later on Facebook and be able to watch it and get more information on what's happening here at the church. On Thursday afternoon, the Luke Miller podcast comes out, and that is such a good way to just get some solid teaching from our new pastor, Luke, who's hanging out up in Canada, and we're looking forward to him being down here one of these days. And then finally, this Friday, our every other week podcast put out by our worship arts department, The Beat, happens at 12:30. So you definitely want to check out those online offerings. They're great opportunities to just connect with people here at the church, to connect with each other, and our prayer is that you're going to be able to connect with the Lord through that. We do want to be sure that you continue to follow along, whether it's on our webpage or through the emails that we send out as a church and the different communications, because every week this relaunch thing tends to change. It's very fluid. And so we are so thankful for your flexibility with this. We realize that there are people all over the spectrum as to how quickly the church should open back up. And so we appreciate your willingness to be patient, not only with us, but especially with each other. There is a lot of division these days, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But there's a lot of division these days in the church. And right now, especially, the body of Christ, his bride, the church, needs to be one. And so I'm praying that we, as a local body of Christ, as a local church family, would be united right now, that we would love each other deeply, that we would have grace for each other, that we would be able to encourage each other, and that we would be able to move through this entire process together. If you've been watching the news, the last 2 weeks have been nothing short of horrific. We as a nation, we as a society, are in deep pain. We have lost unity in so many ways, and I don't want to oversimplify it, but I have to say, so many of us have just turned our backs on God. It's what happens is we look to our own personal selfish needs, and we miss out on the need of our neighbor. We miss out on trying to understand our neighbor. And we want to take some time right now and just stop and collectively, as a church family, pray. And pray for healing in this nation. But I'm also going to pray that we can repent. So would you join me together in the name of Jesus. We're going to join together and we are going to pray for our nation right now. Father, yes, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. We come to you right now as your collective body of Christ. Some of us here, some of us out there in our homes, in different places, but we're coming together right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, and I pray for healing, Lord, for our nation. I pray that, Father, I pray that we would stop and look and repent, Father, of our sin. I pray that we would repent of our sin as a nation. I pray that we would repent of our sin as a culture or as a society. I pray that we would repent of our sin as a church. Lord, I pray that I would repent of my sin as an individual, me and you. Father, we desperately need you. We desperately need your healing. We desperately need your touch. And so, Father, please give us your strength. Father, please heal this land. Oh, Lord, I pray that we could get ourselves out of the way in such a way that you could be glorified, that you will be glorified. And so, Father, we trust you because we can only have hope in you. We can't have hope in the systems of this earth. They are always going to come up short. And so, Father, I pray that we would have our hope in you, our eyes fixed on you, that you would convict us through your Holy Spirit, that we would turn to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's hard. There's no other way to put it. It's hard. And I continue to pray that we, God's church, would be a light, that we would be hope, that we, Sunrise, right here, could be hope in Sacramento, that we could be light in Sacramento. Well, we're going to continue on in our worship service this morning. And again, we're thrilled you're here. We're looking forward to how God's going to be working through this season. We thank you for the fact that so many of you have just been patient as we have been slowly working towards this relaunch thing, as we're figuring out the ins and out of it. I don't know about you, but it seems to me like the news changes every day. And one day we're able to do one thing, another day they say, okay, now you can do this. And so we're grateful for your patience in this process. And we just encourage you, be one, be united, love your neighbor. There are, when it comes to reopening the church, I know we have people here in our own church family that have said, we need to reopen this thing immediately. And there are others that said, we need to wait a while. And if I can encourage us, unity is going to be it. Focus on Christ, love Him, love each other, be united, be patient with each other, and God's going to work through it all. So we thank you for your patience as this very fluid situation is one that we're learning to live in. Well, this is the point in the service where we normally receive the offering. And as we've been doing in the last several weeks online, we take some time and give you different ways to give. If you are here on campus, instead of passing the offering bags today, we're going to have offering boxes at the exits. And so you'll be able to drop off a donation that way if you'd like to. Or you can still mail your donations in through check. Or go online to sunrise.church/give and be able to set up a recurring donation right there. And then finally, my favorite, you can text to give. You text the letters Sunrise CC to 77977, and you can give that way. So let's go ahead and pray together, not only for the offering, but just for the Lord's blessing on our time this morning. So Father, once again, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, humbled before you, the God of all creation. You are good, and we praise you. Ah, Lord, I thank you for every person that's watching today and that's a part of this service, Lord. Would they be blessed? would they know what it means to trust wholeheartedly in you. Would you speak to our hearts this morning, Lord? Would you convict our hearts? In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, let's continue to worship together.
Glad to be with you this morning, Sunrise. If you're worshiping from home, please sing with us. And if you're worshiping from campus, would you please follow it in your hearts? Thank you.
Let the King. And through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me.
Good morning and welcome to Sunrise. We're glad that you are able to join us. And as you gather together, whether it is in your kitchens, whether it is in your living rooms, whatever it may be, welcome. And even more so, there's something special happening this week, isn't there? We're all gathered in different locations, but there's a larger gathering happening on campus right now in the different classrooms, in the youth room, in the worship center, and we are starting to get back. We are getting restarted, which is the name of our series, which we have been looking at, and so I'm super glad that I get to be a part of this, and I know I'm hoping you're excited to be a part of this as well as we get restarted and we see where God is calling us as we get things going. Now, we've been looking through the book of Haggai. We've been spending some time looking at how Haggai is giving these motivational speeches or sermons to the people as God delivers his message to his people who for 16 years had been sitting on the sidelines. They celebrated when the foundation of the temple was built and in place. And then all of a sudden they decided to stop and focus on their houses. For 16 years they focused on their houses. And now it's this calling to return to what God had called them to do. And so it's very fitting that we find ourselves there this morning and in this series over the next little while. We are on week 4. If you've got your Bibles, you turn to Haggai chapter 2. We're going to be going through verses 1 through 9, and we'll see how far we get. And so I'm glad, again, that you're able to join us from wherever you may be. Last week, we looked at these closing verses of chapter 1 as Haggai was telling them not to fear, but to listen to God and then obey. And what we see is that there's this, if we recall the circumstances, they've returned from Babylon, and now they're ready to get going after 16 years. And chapter 2 gives us the next sermon in Haggai itself. And it starts off in verse 1 by saying, on the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. The book has a number of different time markers in it, which is very interesting. And what we have here with on the 20th day of the 7th month, we actually see by looking at the Jewish calendar that we find ourselves in the Jewish month of Tishri. Now, this is a very busy month for holidays. We've got the Feast of Trumpets, which is what we know as Rosh Hashanah, or really the beginning of the year. We've got the Day of Atonement, which is the highest of all the holidays in Israel. And then we've got the Feast of Tabernacles, which is when the entire nation of Israel takes a camping trip. In fact, they still take a camping trip. And this bounces off of what we were talking about last week, about priorities and remembering, and it goes even further back to the week before when we were talking about Memorial Day and about how we remember, yet we move forward. And so even in modern day Jerusalem, in modern day Israel, they still celebrate all of these festivals. Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, is one of my favorites. Like I said, it's like a modern day camping trip. And it doesn't matter where you go, everybody sets up their tents as they remember how God provided for them while they were in the wilderness. And so there's tents on sidewalks. Like everywhere you go, there are these sukkots or tents. But this is actually in the middle of this holiday, this is where we see this message being delivered. And so we know from verse 1 that Haggai is going to speak to them on the second to last day of this holiday. And this particular celebration, again, reminded them of the time that their ancestors spent in the wilderness and how God provided. Now, in Haggai chapter 2, verse 2, it goes on, and God tells the prophet to preach to the leaders and to the remnant, and he does by asking three different questions in verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? And does it seem to you like nothing? Three very big questions. Who remembers what this used to look like? And then, how does it look now? As you just look at a base foundation, as opposed to when you remembered it in the glory of King Solomon's temple. And we see over and over that Haggai and God are directing this at the people, the word you, and focusing on them as they ask these questions. And one of the biggest problems that they have is discouragement. It was the same problem that Nehemiah ran into with building the wall. And as they look at what is there right now, they see that there is no house of God. The temple isn't there. The foundation is, but the temple's not. But their houses are in a great state. And so for this passage, we see that it's so important to identify the causes and then apply the cures to the discouragement that's going on. I think for us right now, we could remember the good old days 4 months ago when we gathered together in person. More so, I find myself reminiscing when we go to 7-Eleven and we go get 5-cent candy, but the 5-cent candy is now 10 cents. And I always say, well, I remember when 5-cent candy was just 5 cents, not 10 cents. And I know some of you right now, as I say that, are probably saying, well, I remember when 5-cent candy was 1 cent. And then it's 5 cents, and now it's 10 cents. I found it very interesting as I looked back in history, and I was going through my grandma's stuff. She kept a great archive of family history, and they had the first general store in their town in Saskatchewan, literally like Little House on the Prairie. And it goes back to, she's got receipts from the general store back to 1915, 1916, and they were the first ones to have a light bulb. Not light up the whole house. There was just a light bulb that dangled from the porch of the general store, and the town would come out to look at the light bulb. And she looks at the receipts, or she shows me the receipts, and on it, I'm like, what's this number, Grandma? It's the number 7. And she's like, oh, that's my phone number. Wait, your phone number was 7? Yeah, right? Like, we look at the back at history and we can all pick out these moments where we think, okay, well, this is as good as it's going to get. That light bulb dangling on the porch was the best it's ever going to get. And it's easy for us to get caught up in remembering the glory years without moving forward, which is a main theme of the holidays that the Jewish people celebrated. So Haggai's announcement at this specific time after three large holidays is there for a purpose. And God delivers this message for the purpose to get them going forward, not just focusing on the past. Because that's one of the areas of discouragement that we can see is comparison with the past. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory, it says. The people who were returning, there's probably some people who were in their 80s and 90s who remember the Temple of King Solomon. And as they look at that and look at what's in front of them now, we see that there'd probably be a very big difference. There would be no comparison to the good old days of Solomon's temple to what they would be staring at right in that moment. Likewise, they saw that the new temple was not going to be the same as what it used to be. It wasn't going to have the Ark of the Covenant. It was not going to have gold furnishings. It was not going to have carved cherubim. It wasn't going to have the Shekinah glory. There was a lack of good materials. And here's the irony behind it, is probably a lot of those good materials have been used on their houses. In fact, there's a very interesting thing about this. Now, Ezra is a contemporary of Haggai, and we can see a priestly view of this as well. And Ezra, as we take a look at this, if you've got your Bibles in Ezra chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, we have this very unique picture of comparing with the past, looking at the present, and figuring out how to go forward in the future. It says, and all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the Lord was laid. But many other older priests and Levites and heads of families who had seen the former temple wept out loud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid. While many others shouted for joy, no one could distinguish the sounds between joy and the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard from far away. What's happening here? There's this focus by two different groups. One group is remembering and seeing what is now and what was then, and it's a direct relation to the consequences of their behaviors from the past. But in this, we see that that there's another group who's seeing the temple being built for the first time. And there's joy. God's house is about to be built. The foundation is done. Let's celebrate. This is very important for where we are now. How do we approach where we return? Obviously, this morning looks different as people are gathered in a worship center. They're gathered in classrooms. They're gathered in their homes. We're 6 feet apart. There's all these protocols in place. It's going to look different, but are we shouting for joy that we are in the middle of God doing something great? Are we shouting for joy of us moving forward, of restarting? And although it doesn't look like it did in the past, does that mean that God is not on the move? That comparison to past can be a discouragement. If we want to restart and we want to go where God is moving, then we got to be going with him, which means going forward. The other is focusing on the flaws. You'll notice the next question that they ask is, how does this look now? And the answer was nothing like what it should have looked. They found fault in it. It wasn't like Solomon's temple. It hadn't even been built. It's just the base layer. And there was this negativity that was there because they wanted it to return to older times. The other issue is overstating the problem. The question of, does it seem like nothing to you? The word nothing means non-existent. They're staring at a foundation, but it's saying, does it look like anything's even there? Does this look like nothing to you? And I think this is an important aspect of understanding this discouragement that can hold us back from moving forward. At least God recognizes it and Haggai recognizes it. Is, yes, you could say that it looks like nothing compared to its former self. But the joy that's there for those who are looking forward, see that this is the beginning of something great. The foundation has been laid for what will be God's house. The foundation has been laid for something great. That's where we find ourselves today. That's where we find ourselves going forward, is knowing that all of this work and all the things that have happened, even just in the past 3 months, from going online to allowing us to reach people who've never heard the gospel before. People are hearing Jesus for the first time. People are joining us from all around the country, if not all around the world. And now, all of a sudden, that foundation looks like something great for something that is going to be built by God in a way that God wants. It's easy to overstate the issues. It's easy for us to make it look like worse than it actually is, even as we return back and we're like, oh, well, I wish we could be closer. I wish there was more people here because we're limited by capacity. I mean, I remember the first day of Ari's kindergarten class. It was a big day. We sent him off to school. All the parents cried. And you know, it's a big day, a big milestone in their life. And I remember at the end of the day, we went to go pick Ari up from school, and they had been asked to draw a picture of their family. And the picture that Ari had drawn was a picture of Ari, of Levi, and of Sarah, all smiling. And then there was a picture of me in jail. And the title written on it by the teacher in clear writing was, Family Day with Daddy in Jail. Yeah, you try and explain that to a teacher. Oh, what's that? Oh, we were having fun and daddy's in jail. Now, I should have prefaced this by the fact that I have never been in jail. We just like to play cops and robbers. And Ari was the cop and I was the robber and I always somehow ended up in jail. But when you look at the picture, and I'm sure there's a few psychologists maybe sitting there this morning being like, we should probably have a bigger discussion, Luke. I'm sure the teacher was saying, we should probably have a discussion with the Miller family. But the reality is it was understanding the context, and all of a sudden, it's not so bad. Right? That's what's happening here. And all of a sudden, when you realize the discussion that's surrounding this, that all of a sudden, we can move to the cure for that discouragement, that application for making change. After identifying the causes of discouragement, we read in verses 4 and 5 three different things that we must do that God will also do. Let's read the verses together. But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord. I love this picture. This picture of them with, or of God with them on all different levels. God with the priests, God with the leaders, God with the people. Don't fear, be strong. I am with you. And we'll hear this theme over and over again. What we see here is what we must do. It's laid out in verses 4 and 5. We must be strong. We must get to work in verse 4. We must not fear. I wonder if these commands cause them to remember David's words to his son Solomon as he was preparing to build the first temple in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. Haggai's giving this echo of the greatest king of Israel as a message and a motivation to the people. And here's the best part. As we listen to it this morning, this afternoon, on Monday, whatever it may be that you're listening to this, that message is still the same. The message of David to Solomon as he's about to build the temple. The message of Haggai to the people as they were about to build the temple. The message to us this morning as we restart and start to gather and say, how can we have more of an impact, is just the same. Be strong. Be courageous. Do the work. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He is with you. God, Emmanuel, God with us. And then on top of this, in this motivation, it moves to what God will do in all of this. Yes, God is with us, but how is he with us is the question. And it's a reasonable question. The people are worried. They had problems when they built the wall with people coming and oppressing them, and their questions are probably the same here. Okay, God's with us, but what does that actually look like? And we see this in the next set. His presence is with us, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. His promise is for us. He's a covenant God. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Again, there's a subtlety here, or maybe not so much of a subtlety, a reminder of Egypt. And remember, this is on the second to last day of the holiday, remembering their time as they left Egypt. Hey guys, really bringing this home to them and making it personal for them. God was with you when you left Egypt. God is with you now. Remember those great things God did? He's still doing them. God is with us. God is for us. And then even more so, his power is within us. And my spirit remains among you. This is one of the few references to the Spirit in the Old Testament and reminds us that whatever we do is done by God's power. Whatever is next for us is done by God's power alone. We have this beautiful ability to join Him on mission, and whatever we do is done through Him. My Spirit is among you. This week, think of that, of God saying that through Haggai as we read this and how it applies to you. Wherever you may find yourself, understand that my Spirit remains among you, God says. I am for you, I am with you, and I am within you in everything that you do. Courage comes from knowing God is with us, for us, and within us. And this applies to all of us, young and old. If you're sitting here this morning and you are wondering what this is like, if you're saying that God can't be for me, I've done too many things wrong, that I'm going through too many trials, I'm telling you that God is for you. And if you know that God is for you, there's this beautiful picture of God's presence, of God being with you. If you want to know more about that, again, I say this every week, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I want you to reach out to us. If you already know this, I mean it from the bottom of my heart when I say I want you to share this with your neighbors, that God is for them. No matter what stage or circumstance of life they're in, God is for them. May not agree with some of the things they do, but God is for us. God is with us. But none of that compares to the fact that God is in us. And that beautiful relationship with Him. Courage in these times comes from knowing that God is with, for, and within us. The question is, how are we going to react? Are we going to let it go? I think it's important for us to let go some of the past, some things we may have been locked in on as we move forward. This morning, I want to leave us with one of my favorite passages from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 19. And I think this is just an anthem for us as we go forward from here. Knowing that things are going to look different and things are not going to be the same for a while, but God is doing something. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Yes, oh, I love this. "Do you not see that I'm doing a new thing?" says the Lord. "Do you not perceive it? Now it springs up. Something exciting is happening. I am doing something great," says God. As a theologian once put it, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. What is God doing now? What is God doing going forward? Let's act on it. God is doing something new. It springs up. Can you not feel it? Let's get excited about it. Ask that question this week. Go with courage, knowing that God is with you. God is for you. And then when you act, understand that God is within you and the Spirit remains within you. These are exciting times. It can be scary, yet exciting. But God is doing something great. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you that we can gather together and worship you from all different locations, some in person, on campus, some in different states, some in different countries. Yet we're gathered together to hear your word, to hear about how you speak through your prophet Haggai, to motivate the people about not dwelling on the past, but moving forward with excitement. And that's where we find ourselves today. God, let us go with courage, knowing that you are for us, that you are with us, and that you are within us. And all these things are going to lead to some very exciting things over the next little while. You are on the move and we know it. We recognize it. And now we want to join you as you move forward. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, in the life of church. And we're excited for what is next. We pray these things all in your amazing and holy name. Amen. I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning, or again, whenever you're watching this. If you've got questions, like I said, about Jesus, about being God with you, no matter what you've done or what your circumstances are, I want you to reach out to us. We've got a full team that's ready to answer questions, and you can contact us right at www.sunrise.church, and there's a connect card right there. If you are new and watching, connect with us. We'd love to share a bit about where God is leading us as a church and some of the exciting things that are going to be happening. Over the next little while, we've got some things, as always, from tomorrow morning or Monday morning with the Backshed Bible Study, as that is with Pastor Cliff as he dives into God's Word. On Wednesday, we got Pastors Live. And if you haven't done that, this is a great time, especially now, where you get to hear about all the things that are happening, especially as we start to reopen our campus and meet together. And so So please check in with that. On Thursdays, I release our podcast, and we've been going through prayer. We're shifting to worship now, and so we're going to be talking about that. Take care. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week at Sunrise.